Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4 in your Bibles this evening. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to encourage you to mark. If you don't write in your Bibles, I'm going to encourage you to do it tonight. I'm going to give you two verses that I'd like you to commit to memory, that I'd like you to really let get a hold of you. 1 Peter chapter 4 is where we're going to start. But before I tell you what verse we're starting with, I want to ask you a question. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Gloria, what are you afraid of? I'm afraid that Dr. Scoville is going to ask me to sing when I walk in the door, and I'm not going to be ready. That's where I got it from. Jennifer, what are you afraid of? The dark. Listen, I have an 8-year-old daughter who is also afraid of the dark, and I'll admit it, I'm afraid of the dark too. One night, 2 years ago, so she'd have been six, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, a storm came through, everyone was asleep. And then the power went out, and whatever light was on in the house, the kitchen light over the sink is always on, it went out. And it was so dark in the house that I woke up. It was that dark. And I'm thinking, and then someone else also woke up at the same time, and that was Emily. And I start to hear her cry, and she's calling. She's not calling for me, she's calling for her mom, but I'm the one that has to get up. And I'm thinking, I remember when I was a kid, my dad told me a story about a guy that broke his nose walking into a door. And I'm thinking, I cannot see where I'm going, but this is how it happened. The door was open, and it went right between his outstretched arms, and he walked right into it. So, yeah, I'm afraid of the dark, too. Most people are afraid of snakes. Anybody here afraid of snakes? Brother Beal? Okay, got to be honest here. Here's a story I haven't told you before. In the basement of my house, we had some work done. And one of the guys was inspecting, and he reached up and put his hand on top of the apartment where Rhoda lives. And he started laughing, and he grabbed this snake skin that was in the basement of my house, and I am not exaggerating, it was 8 feet long. And it was in my basement. Never told you that. It was Zach Green. I said, Zach, don't you ever tell anybody. Yeah. What about spiders? Anybody afraid of spiders? I mean, I have a frog in my pocket, so when I get the frog out, you're afraid of frogs? Really? Spiders? Well, in my house, I think it's very common for people to be afraid of the dark, be afraid of spiders, be afraid of snakes. In my house, I am the official bug killer. Actually, since Abigail turned 10, I don't have to worry about that anymore because she kills all the insects for me now. She's a brute. But up until then, that was my job. Look, I don't like spiders any more than anybody else, but somebody had to do it. It was crazy. I mean, I think if we're honest, we all have a fear of something. What are you afraid of? Spiders. Joe? He's afraid I'm going to preach till 9 o'clock. That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. I think fear, you have a fear of failure. You have a fear of success. Arachnophobia. A fear of heights. I was on my roof once. I had a pileated woodpecker that died in my chimney. And I'm up there trying to figure out how I'm going to get Woody the woodpecker out of my chimney. And I'm up there, and on that side of the house, it's about 2.5 stories, 3. And I heard a voice in the back of my head. And it said, you don't belong up here. And I said, you're right, I don't. I got down, got the yellow pages, and called some guy to put a chimney cap and clean out my chimney. But I say all that to say that we're all afraid of something. As a Christian, what are you afraid of? Let me say it another way. What are you afraid of? Because I think there is a pandemic involving the church, and it's crippling the people in the pews. It's crippling the church, and it's crippling us. We're afraid to tell people about Jesus Christ. And I really appreciated the song that you sung, because I sat there and I thought about that, and I thought, this is a song of witness. This sounds like someone, like the blind man that was healed by Jesus, just telling people what Jesus did for them. That's what it sounded like to me. And I have to ask myself, if the Great Commission is for us to go, and we're told to go, and we know we're supposed to go, and if all we're doing to fulfill the Great Commission is in these four walls right here, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. We actually have to go and tell. And it's good to pass out tracts. I love passing out tracts, and that is a great start. But we've got to get to the place where we're not afraid to open our mouths and give a witness. What do you think the biggest fear is? Anybody? Daniel, that's exactly it. I believe the biggest fear that Christians face in sharing their faith is the fear of rejection. We are afraid of being rejected. Nobody likes to be rejected. Nobody likes to be made fun of. Nobody likes to have people talk about them behind their back and cover their mouths and laugh and point and stay away from you. Nobody likes that. It's painful. And it is amazing what length we will go to avoid pain. Christians will go to a great length to avoid pain. So let me ask you another question. What are the only three possible things that can happen when we step out and share our faith? What are the only three things that can happen? Yes, that can happen. You can get rejected. Would you say that's a good thing or a bad thing? Probably a bad thing. Okay, there's two other possible answers. Who said that? Acceptance. Someone could actually accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior since you are actually participating. You're very welcome. You're afraid of police officers. Yeah, I used to be afraid of police officers too. Yeah. Yeah, we could share the gospel with someone and they could get saved. Did someone share the gospel with you? A few times. Someone shared the gospel with me. A few times. And a few times, some seeds were planted. And that's the other thing that can possibly happen. When we're telling people about Jesus, some seeds can be planted. Is that a good thing? That's a good thing. Someone could actually get saved. Someone shared the gospel with me, and I actually got saved. That's a good thing. I'd say that's a winning situation. And I have had times where I have shared the gospel or passed out a tract, and I got this. No. Okay, so that's 2 out of 3. Debate. I'll put that in planting seeds because they're engaging you. 2 out of 3 are actually pretty good, aren't they? Okay, so just statistically speaking, we have a 66% chance of having some kind of favorable outcome when we witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. A 66%. I think those are pretty good odds, don't you? Okay, if I was a baseball player and 66% of the time I got up to the plate and got a base hit, what would that make me? A billionaire would be more like it. Yes, John, that is exactly correct. I'd be a household name, okay? I'd be up there with Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, Joe Montana. I mean, I'd be up there with those guys. Now batting fourth for the Cincinnati Reds, Wayne Birchwell. Birchwell. Yeah, I'd be famous. I wouldn't be here. 667. I'm rounding up. That's my batting average. I'd be in the Hall of Fame. Everyone would know my name. Pretty good odds, don't you think? You know, sometimes those just aren't good enough odds for me. And I think for a lot of Christians, those are just not good enough odds either. But you can see that 2/3 of the time it's a winning situation. When our perception tells us something contrary to what the Word of God says, we need to choose by faith the Word of God. Let's pray and then we'll look at verse number 14 in 1 Peter chapter 4. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word that makes things clear, that is something we can live by, that's steadfast and sure and unchanging. So, Father, as we look into your word this evening, I pray that we would be encouraged and realize that you equip us to fulfill the Great Commission. And that command that you gave several times in the Bible is not a corporate command, it's an individual command. Father, help us to be obedient to what your word says and give us what we need to be victorious. In Christ's name, amen. I want to show you this evening that it is always a winning situation to share your faith. It is always a winning situation to share your faith. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 14, and highlight it, draw lines around it, memorize it, so that every time you go out on visitation, you claim this promise. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, here it is, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Now again, any kind of suffering, any kind of persecution, even if it's expected, it's going to be uncomfortable. It is painful. Persecution hurts, and trials are a source of pain. But notice this word. Actually, let's just back up the word if. Other places in the Bible, it's translated since. Colossians 3:1, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Since you are risen with Christ. Since you will be reproached. That word reproach speaks of verbal abuse. I'm not talking about physical abuse here, but certainly persecution is painful. And being picked on verbally is uncomfortable. It hurts to be mocked. It hurts to be slandered. It hurts to be made fun of. It hurts to be accused. It hurts to be misunderstood. It hurts to be misunderstood. I don't like to be misunderstood. It is uncomfortable. I'm thinking about when I was a kid, all the verbal altercations I was in. I'm rubber, you're glue, bounced off of me and stuck to you. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. Oh, yeah? Hey, it hurts. Absolutely it does. That's the character of the pain that we're talking about here in that word reproached. But notice, reproached for the name of Christ. That's the cause of the pain. The cause of the pain is one's faith in Jesus Christ. Peter's not talking about the ordinary trials of life here that everyone experiences. Peter's talking about the trials of life that you face when you're obedient to what Jesus Christ has called you to do. When you're doing the job that you're supposed to be doing, you are going to be persecuted. It's because you are an obedient Christian that this kind of reproach falls upon you. If you weren't being obedient, you wouldn't be suffering this kind of pain, this kind of displeasure. Think of Job. Think of Job in Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2, this is what the Lord said. The Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man?" Perfect. He's a saved man. He's upright. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. "One that feareth God and escheweth evil." He had a proper respect for God. And he stayed away from bad stuff. "And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Job was doing what he was supposed to be doing as a Christian in that time. You're no different than him. When you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, these trials will come upon you. This isn't a result of sinful behavior. This is a result of obedience behavior. But here's the paradox. Look back at our text. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Seems rather paradoxical, does it not? Again, I'll say it again. Trying to think how Pastor Stephen said it. When our sights of circumstance are not very inspiring, we have an inspired word, an inspired scripture that we should turn to. And then we've got a choice to make. We have a choice to make. We can either believe what we see, believe what we feel and trust our emotions, or we can believe by faith to choose and believe what God says. And God says that happy are ye when ye are reproached for the name of Christ. Scripture does not lie. And God promises that believers will be rejoicing for being persecuted for sharing their faith. Okay, tell me why. Why am I going to be happy? Because there is comfort in the pain. There is comfort in the pain. Notice what the Bible says. Happy are ye. I love that word. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. I can say it this way. They're in parallel. I'm doing no injustice to the text. For the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resteth upon you. There's one reason why we can be rejoicing when we're rejected for sharing our faith, and that is the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God will be resting on us. Look at that word resteth. ETH in the King James Version of the Bible tells of a continual action. The Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God will be continually resting upon you. We will be refreshed and strengthened by divine glory when we are rejected for sharing our faith in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. I know it doesn't feel that way, but that's what the Bible says. We have a choice to make. Think about that for a moment. If we ever get rejected for sharing our faith in Jesus Christ, if we ever get rejected in the name of Jesus, we will be blessed. It's not might be or hope to be or someday. We will be blessed. And the glory of God will rest upon us continually. Now think about that for a moment. Wouldn't you want that? Yes, I would. If you could have the glory of God shine in your life and be reflected onto others, you would want that. Sure you would. We would all want some of that, but here's how you get it. You've got to be rejected in the name of Christ. And you cannot be rejected in the name of Christ. You cannot be reproached in the name of Christ. You can't be made fun of in the name of Christ if you're not witnessing for Christ. Notice the contrast. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. You're bringing glory unto the Lord when you're obeying him and doing what you're supposed to be doing, even though they are trash-talking your Lord and Savior. I want to reiterate one thing, and that is the comfort in the pain, because we will go to great lengths to avoid pain and discomfort. Resteth. That ETH, a continual action. It carries the idea of to refresh and to strengthen. Please remember that. Comfort. You will be refreshed. You will be strengthened. That is the promise in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 14. I think that's pretty good. I think that's pretty exciting. I think that's a lot to overcome the hesitation. But there's more. Let's get a little more leverage. Turn, please, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and look at verse 22 and 23. And again, I have these highlighted in my Bible. And I go over them because I don't want to forget the promise that God gave. Because Paul wrote in Romans, I wondered why he put this in there. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Why did he write that in there? Because he knew that you and I would be hesitant to speak boldly in the name of Christ. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. I remember one time I was reading through this verse number 22, and I thought, man, that's exactly what happened to Alicia and I when we got saved. Because we started to change, and other people didn't change with us. And they weren't our friends anymore. You know what I'm talking about? And they separated from us. We didn't have to separate from them. They separated from us. And then they said not nice things about us and talked about us behind our back, about how we had been, I don't even want to use the word. And they cast out our name as evil. Suddenly, if you were associated with the Birchwells, there was something wrong with you. I thought about that, and it was a difficult time, wasn't it? I praise the Lord because He gave us new friends, real friends, friends that were happy for us and the changes that we were going through, and friends that would help us and direct us and help us to grow. And it ended up being a blessing, but it was very difficult at the time. So persecution is nothing new. Some experience it more than others. And it can be bitter. It can be a very bitter experience. When I was preparing for this message, I was remembering comments made to me by my own family and in-laws. And it's the people that you love the most that have the tendency to hurt you the most. But the Bible here gives us an encouraging perspective, another encouraging perspective that we need to be mindful of to get some leverage here so that we can see that sharing our faith is always a winning situation. Always. There is blessing in the persecution. Notice the word blessed right up in front. Blessed are ye. You are blessed. The idea here is extremely blessed and by extension fortunate, well off. Blessed, happy, happier. Happy are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil. Hate, no one likes to be disliked. No one likes to be disliked. It's the scorning here. But in persecution, you will be very unliked. Separation, separate you from their company. The persecutor will be unwanted, ostracized, kicked out, excluded. We see some shaming here, reproach you. They delight in making fun of you. They cast out your name as evil, slander. I used to be one of those people that made fun of those other people. Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. Notice again the cause of the persecution. Notice the whole root cause for the Son of Man's sake. The cause of the persecution spoken of in our text here is Jesus Christ. You can take a copy of the Quran to the public schools and carry it around and read it and put it on your desk, and no one is going to say anything. As a matter of fact, they might just celebrate you. But try to bring one of these into the public schools and you will be in trouble. Do a character study on some great character in the Bible as a homework project, and then you can read about it on Fox News. Okay? Here's the hard part. Here's the hard part. Rejoice ye in that day. Rejoice and leap for joy. This is the hard part. This is the command in the persecution. This is a surprising command. I mean, shouldn't we be commanded to pray? The Bible tells us to rejoice. It is a surprising command. You may need to really make the effort. This is a command and you have a choice, just like any other command in the Bible, whether you're going to obey the command or disobey the command, but the choice is yours. The choice to rejoice is yours. And I didn't say it was going to be easy. The text implies that it is not easy. It is a surprising command. It is a strenuous command. It would be easier just to smile, would it not? Strenuous. How do you get that? Well, that little word, leap. Now, I'm a little bit older than most, but I'm not the most elderly statesman in the room by any means. But I don't know about you, but I haven't been doing a whole lot of leaping recently. I played basketball with three-on-three basketball right out back here. And after about 10 minutes, I thought I was going to hurl. Not curl, hurl. I'm like, sub, I need a sub. I'm glad we had a sub because anyone ever seen me play basketball before? Joe's laughing. Brother Beal, I forgot about that. Brother Beal's laughing also. Yes, I was as red last week as I was 3 or 4 years ago, but I don't jump very high. There's not a lot of leaping going on when I'm playing basketball, but that is the command. And the more you leap, the more you wear yourself out. It is a strenuous command by the word leap. What are you saying, Brother Birchwell? I'm saying it's easy for me to tell you that you need to choose to rejoice, but it is a hard decision to make when it is happening. And it may wear you out, but we're still commanded to do it. We're commanded in the persecution to rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. And here's the part that we're all interested in. This is what I want you to remember. Your reward is great in heaven. Your reward is great in heaven. I work 5 days a week to be compensated. I am not working for free. Mr. Bream is not working for free. Daniel's not working for free. Joe's not. Joe, you're retired. This doesn't count. Joe is being compensated for working all those years, but there's compensation in the persecution. The reward is great in heaven. Notice the place of the reward. Heaven. That means it's going to be a pure reward. Notice the place of the reward. It's in heaven. That means it's going to be a permanent reward. Notice that little word, great. The Holy Spirit does not waste any words in His Scripture. Great. That means it's going to be plenteous. So you're crazy. Yes, I am. Notice the tense of the little word is. It's present tense. Your reward is, not will be or might be or shall be. Your reward is great in heaven right now when you choose to rejoice. That's important. Notice there's a crowd. There's a crowd. We're not going to be alone. There's a great crowd of, in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. You're not the first. We're not going to be the last. We're going to be in great company. I wonder if we truly realize when we are rejected for sharing our faith. Has anyone ever had a door closed in your face? Yes, so have I. Has anyone ever been spit upon? Okay. The church in Hagerstown, Maryland had one person that happened to. Didn't happen to me. Anyone ever been made fun of? Anyone ever been asked to leave? Yeah, yeah. But I wonder if we realize that when we are rejected for sharing our faith in the name of Jesus Christ, God has rewards waiting for us in heaven that are so great that will that'll in comparison to what we think we are missing out on, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. What we think we've missed out on will be truly unimportant. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 14. I'd like you to read that before you go out on visitation. I want you to arm yourself with the truth so that when someone looks at you like you are crazy or like you are ridiculous or you're foolish, that you can claim the promise. Luke chapter 6, verse 22-23. You got a choice to make. The choice is up to you. You make the choice to rejoice. It's not going to be an easy choice, but the Lord has promised us. He never directs us to do something that we cannot do without His help. You can do it. I can do it. for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Remember the comfort in the reproach. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Remember the compensation. All right, so let me ask you the question again. There's only three things that can happen when we share our faith, when we witness to someone and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, I don't know what to do. Well, you don't have to be like Peter on the day of Pentecost, thundering and preaching boldly and quoting Scripture. You don't have to be like Paul on Mars Hill, talking about the reasoning with them. You just need to be like the blind man. Maybe it was John chapter 8. Jesus spit on the ground and made spittle and rubbed it on his eyes, and he told him to go wash. And he did what the Lord told him to do. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees asked him, "Weren't you the blind man? What happened?" I don't know what happened. Jesus healed me. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. Just like the song that Jennifer and Gloria sang that talked about Jesus is all the world to me. Has Jesus Christ changed your life? He's changed mine. That's all we need to tell him. So there's only three possible things that can happen. We can plant a seed, and that's a good thing. That's a winning situation. Somebody could get saved. That's a good thing. That's a winning situation. We might be rejected for sharing our faith. You know what? The Bible says that's a good thing. That's a winning situation. He promises to comfort us. He promises to strengthen us. The divine glory will rest upon us. Your reward is great in heaven. So here's the question. What are you afraid of? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, Father, as we tell others about you. Lord, you've told us that we need to be fulfilling the Great Commission. And you've promised to go with us. So, Father, help us to be obedient to what you've called us to do, even when we're afraid. Help us not to be ashamed, but to witness boldly. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory for what you accomplish through worthless vessels like us.